Pickaxe.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back.
All right.
What we did? Trifles.
Selling cars, apparently? Oh, no. Yeah, we're doing a podcast.
I remember this. Welcome back, Pyrion. How are you? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm all right.
You doing good?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Sips?
Yeah, you know, same old.
How are you?
I'm all right, actually. The sun has come out a little bit.
Are you really?
I'm feeling good. Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit positive.
Right, okay.
I think I've been very down in the dumps lately. I don't know whether it's come through in recordings.
See, it's
or
true.
Podcasts
you,
or anything.
They say that you should always ask your friends if they're okay twice, right? You ask them once.
Right.
You say, are you okay? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. And then you say, are you really okay? And then that's when... No, it gives them an opportunity to open the floodgates. It's a thing, right?
Because the first one is automatic.
The first one is just the polite, you're right? Like, if you see someone on the street, you say, all right. They don't go, no.
No, you
ask them twice.
Yeah, you got to ask them twice.
Crisis. No, you're right. You're right. The first one is a reflex because it's a polite, automatic thing that people don't really... It's like just a part of our society, right? Whereas the second question, you're actually asking, you know, out of interest.
But I have noticed that I don't think I've seen Americans to confirm, but I don't think I've seen Americans just go, all right? Like,
no.
That's a British greeting.
That's a British greeting, the all right greeting.
Yeah, it is.
And sometimes they, like, chain it on to other things. How you doing, all right?
Yeah.
Like it's very British, you wouldn't get that in America.
You do get how's it going?
Hey, man, what's up?
How's it hanging, bro?
Yeah. But then they don't ask, how's it really hanging?
No, but how's it really hanging? Is it really hanging okay?
Because that's when you get the real answer.
That's it.
No, it's really drooping to one side.
Hanging poorly today. Oh, so this is funny because this actually, I was thinking about TV acting. And hey, you okay? Yeah. Are you really okay? It's a very TV acting trope to have that. And then the music starts and they glisten eyes and they look up and no, you know, it's like that. So I've been watching Agents Marvel of S.H.I.E.L.D. No, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Agents of... No, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's the one.
Right, right.
Which is a good show. Like, it's a laugh. It's nice and relaxing. It's got Coulson in. It's got some very good Marvel-y stuff in. It's got some really cheesy stuff that just makes me laugh.
You watched it with the fam?
Yes, they like it. So me and Mrs. F watched, like, a couple of episodes. So generally, I stop streaming or doing anything at about around 5, and I go downstairs for about 3.5 hours, and we'll have dinner, and we'll watch some telly, we'll hang out, because she's finished work as well at that point, and then I'll come up and start streaming, and the kids go to bed and everything. So that's our sort of filler, where we all hang out and watch Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or whatever it is that we're watching at that time. So we were watching something else previously. Modern Family, my kids.
Man, I wish we had that filler. Our filler is my kids treating my living room like it's some sort of padded play area, jumping on the couches and stuff like that. This they decide to do 2 minutes before bedtime.
Yeah.
They decide to expend all possible energy that they have left in their systems by screaming, trying to kill each other, and just horsing around generally, you know?
That does stop. Like, I would say it does. I mean, my eldest, she's nearly 12. She is on Minecraft with her mates on Discord shouting at each other. So I send her upstairs to do that upstairs because, you know, I don't want to hear what sounds like a really bad stream live in my living room. So I said, I get that full experience whenever I stream. I don't need to hear someone else doing it as well. And my youngest has just finished whatever the Super Mario game on the Switch is, one where you have to... I don't know the name of it, but anyone that's
Odyssey?
Played it...
Odyssey? The one with the balloon?
Yes, it's Odyssey. Yeah.
There's a
level where you turn into a little penguin with a pointy nose, and you have to stab it into a boss and sort of lever your way down and then boing up. Anyone that has played that boss, like, you hit him, he fires the bombs at you, you shoot them back with the pointy nose, then you climb up him and you have to peck open the domes with the people in. If you've played the game, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay,
she was stuck on that level, and she came to me for help,
which was
quite surprising. Compared to a 9-year-old, I'm a gaming god. It makes me feel very good, but I'm obviously
wise, sage expert. You're the Nintendo helpline.
I literally am the real life helpline.
Man, I can play Super Mario Brothers, the original, more or less with my eyes closed. I played it so much when it came out as a kid. It's all muscle memory now. And we got the mini NES, and I was playing, Mario Brothers, and I was showing off a bit, you know, I was like running through every level. I knew where all the warp pipes were and stuff. And I thought that like my son would be really impressed. He didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, this game looks stupid.
He didn't respect it. He never tried it for himself and failed. If he'd failed enough, he would have learned that you
were
the...
He tried it once, and he got to like 1-2, you know, like the first underground level. And he was just like, he fell in a hole or died or whatever. And he's just like, what else is on here? There's like 30 games on it. He was ready to move on straight. They're just spoiled for choice now. Yeah. I mean, that's the only game I had for like 5 years. So, of course, I played the shit out of it, you know?
We're living in a renaissance of entertainment, guys. TV renaissance. There's so many great shows.
Multi-billion dollar industry now. They make so much money, and there's just so much choice nowadays.
So much choice.
I tried to make the point to my youngest when she was stuck on that level. She was like, oh, this is impossible. I was like, you kids don't know you're born. I said, in my day, you would have got 3 lives. You fail on this boss, you go back to the beginning of
the
game.
You would have had to spend like a year's worth of salary playing this over and over in the arcade to get good at it. What are you talking about?
Whereas here, if you stand still, she played with assist mode on. If you get hit, if you just stand still for a bit, it gives you all your life back.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
And then you could just
get disgraceful.
Infinite tries.
That's disgraceful.
It's just too easy.
I don't know. I'm playing Super Mario 3D World, which I think is the original Wii version that they re-released on Switch just recently. I had like 25 lives collected up, and then I got this one level, and because I'm playing it co-op, and we just couldn't do it. Like, we just kept dying over and over again, and we actually lost all 25 lives on this one level that we collected. And I was like, oh, what's going to happen? Are we going to have to start at the beginning of the game? But it's like, no, you can just continue.
Yeah.
Of course it does. Yeah. But I think they've always done that, though, right?
No, like, they never did. I have a couple of examples for you that I'd like to share. Double Dragon 2. You had 3 continues, you had 3 lives and 3 continues. And when they were done, that was it. If you didn't make it to the last boss or whatever, there was no save point. There was no code you could put in to just skip the last boss or whatever. You died, you had to restart from the start.
Yeah, but did Super Mario World give you continues? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a pretty old game.
Super Mario Brothers 3.
Super Mario World gave you, you had the map, right? So like, if you died and lost all your lives, you would just have to restart back to the last sort of save point for what the map.
I think it was you had to complete a world, right? So it was like, let's say it was 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4. When you went to the next world, I think if you died, you go back to that point. So the resume point is actually quite a few levels deep.
Yeah.
So I was trying to say to my youngest that the way all these games are designed is that the skills you need to beat the boss will have been learned in the previous levels. So you can't get someone else to do that stuff for you because you're going to need those little things that you're like, oh, okay, so it's like this. You need to learn that stuff and then take it into the later levels. But she wasn't interested. She was like, I've been doing it all day and I'm stuck.
This is
like,
what's
enough.
Now called hardcore, though, right? Basically, the idea that when you die, you start at the beginning. And that kind of has a more of an accolade of pin on it, right? Because so many games are
there's
not
definitely a niche
now,
for all that.
Yeah.
Though.
I mean, like, there's Minecraft hardcore,
there's a lot of games that have that as a thing that you can do, and I think that that's cool or whatever. On this subject as well, something that I've been playing recently, I don't even ask me how I got into playing this, but I've been playing Call of Duty Warzone, like just you know, the battle royale.
What's it hat films?
No, but funnily enough, I played with Ross last night, which was pretty fun.
I heard it was good. Warzone, I heard, because it was on the Polygon top 10 games to play from 2020, and I was like, how is Warzone, which is like a free to play,
it's a VR, right? Duty. So if you like a BR, you like, you know, I mean, we played PUBG together, all of us, and it was pretty fun.
Oh,
times,
Battle Royale.
Right?
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
Sorry, I didn't know there was a. I didn't even know what that was for a second. A BR. I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
I thought you said B-Arthur.
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 Yeah.
B-Arthur.
Yeah. So it is pretty good. It is really, it's fun. It's very like fast. It doesn't take long to like, I mean, coming out of, getting bored with the current, wipe of Tarkov and playing something that's a lot faster that you can play with people. It really promotes like team play. You know, you can see who's on your team. You don't have to double check who's who and all that kind of stuff. So it's a breath of fresh air from Tarkov, but one thing I've noticed about that game, holy crap, it's like you have to kill a guy 10 times to finally kill him. You're like, there's so many revives and chances for teammates to bring your friend back. You can buy your friends back if you get to a buy station. There's the fucking gulag. So you do like when you die, you get one chance in the gulag to do a 1v1 against somebody. And if you win, you get to spawn back in and stuff. Yes. And it's like, oh my God, it's crazy. It's this whole like, let's give the player another chance going mad. It's just like I said, well, it's 10 times you have to kill somebody sometimes. And like you kill them and they drop in right on you because they want their stuff back. So you're just like shooting a guy with nothing as he parachutes in to try to get his stuff back and everything. It's just like, oh my God, it's crazy. It's just that's the weirdest thing for me, that game.
An example of like game design where people think, oh, you know, sitting out is the worst thing, you know, like that's
is for sure. There's definitely an element to that. I think because you've got the gulag, even when you're waiting for a game to pop, it puts you onto the map with a bunch of other people just like for a warm-up. So like I think their philosophy was they want you to have something to do constantly. And then, and even at the bare minimum, if you have nothing to do, you can spectate your friends. You know what I mean? Or you can spectate the rest of the game to see who killed you, how they're doing, or if they were cheating or whatever. There's a lot of that. And it is pretty good, but I can't get over that. It's just insane. It's just
that the game constant. That's like 100 gig install or something stupid.
It's the most convoluted install process for any game I've ever known, and it's because there's basically three separate games in one. You get to a menu, so there's Zombies, which is kind of almost a standalone game at this point, but you need to have like the base game, Black Ops Cold War to run it. And then Warzone is its own install and game, which is 100 gigs. And then there's just the default multiplayer, because this is like the latest Call of Duty Black Ops. It has, you know, the traditional
Call of Duty
maps with the fucking deathmatch or whatever modes that they have as well. All in, it's got to be like 300 gigs. It's insane. God. But you can install each one separately.
But I'm sure I saw a thing saying that you can't even do a full install on the PlayStation. Like, it won't fit.
Oh, yeah, probably on console. Yeah, it's probably a nightmare.
That you have to have like a little box by your PlayStation to install. You hear this all the time about like the Switch. Like when The Witcher 3 came out on Switch or something, the install size was bigger than the hard drive of the Switch.
What do you do?
You have to have like the memory card. You can get memory cards like really these tiny like little SD sticks.
Oh, wait, are they Switch massive. Specific or can you just get any memory thing?
Yeah, you can just buy like a 256 gig one.
Fucking hell. That's how they do it.
Or just go in there.
Can you please bloat your games to sell more memory sticks, please? Like, I guarantee you that's a fucking conversation.
Well, you've got to think like if you're trying to shave money off your console though, you might as well, you know, you want to, you can save like 100 quid by not putting a decent hard drive in there. You know, and so anyway, I'm interested in playing it, honestly, Sips. Like,
it is good fun. It's very fast. The guns feel really nice. Like there's a lot about it that's great. It is actually really good. It's a little bit sweaty at times. You know, it attracts like tweaked out, you know, 13-year-olds to want to play with their mates and get G fueled up and get, you know, sick 360 no scopes and stuff like that, and that's fine. You get to hear them for a brief second when you kill them. There's like this feature where if they have their their voice
this is why
stuff
I know
enabled
it.
You kill somebody and all you hear is like some kid crying in his kitchen and you get the very brief like mom like shut up and then just cuts off like straight away
because he's obviously angry, so he's like banged his table and then is like in reaction or
that
something.
That sounds like a really really dangerous feature, but I think that's fucking
you get that
hilarious.
Oh my god, yeah. There's a really nice player report system which I use all the time, no matter where I am, even in the warm-up. If somebody kills me, I report them for cheating,
even in the bath. You're like
absolutely
people.
I mean, if you kill me, you've got to be cheating. So
they've added a new report thing to Dota, which is like they call it Overwatch, which is like the same as I think it is in CSGO, and essentially the reports that are made in the game go to the community for judgment. So you download a file, which is like a mini replay. All the names are hidden. It shows you the rank of the game, because that does matter. Because quite often you'll think, I think this
person...
But
is this to crack down on smurfing and stuff too, or not really?
Griefing. Hacking and cheating and abusive behavior, yeah.
Right.
So if I waddle down mid and delete all my items and feed under their tier one tower because I didn't get the role I wanted, that's a report, and I'll see that and I'll say, yep, this guy's guilty. And if enough of those are guilty, the person gets banned. Which I think
guilty as charged. Exactly. You serve 10 years like in the lower priority queue.
It's great. Oh my God. So I'll sometimes do them on stream, and it's interesting to see people's different takes. Quite often, people that are just terrible at the game get reported for feeding when they're not. They're just super bad, and a lot of people are like. I try to keep what counts as cheating or abuse to quite a tight, sort of narrow band, rather than just saying this person didn't help their team. And whilst that might have cost them the game, is that griefing? Or we don't know what happened, what conversation took place. We don't know what happened in the first 5 minutes of the game. They might have all fallen out with each other, and this guy's off trying to, at least he's pushing out lanes and farming. Occasionally turns up to a fight, loses and dies, and the game was lost. But it's not the same as someone literally saying, having a sulk in the first minute and just standing under the enemy tower and feeding the mid. That's griefing and abuse, I'd say.
What you
playing
need to
very
do,
badly
right?
is not
what we need.
Bad.
What we need is like proper punishments for these people, right?
What do you suggest?
Well, they should have an island that they send all these people to for the rest of their lives, and their punishment
well,
is
physically,
they're never
with really bad internet, so they can't get out of low priority.
Yeah. I was thinking it might be like you have to complete a series of challenges, like community service, to get back into the game. So it'll make you have to go onto a map and get 1,000 last hits on the map, and that's like step one. Step
that's
two,
like writing lines.
Right, exactly. Make them do lines. Like, give them some tedious tasks.
I will not be a little bitch to other people.
You have to apologize.
Man, you should have like there should be a point system. There should be like a gaming driving license, right? And you know, if you get caught doing like cheating or being super toxic or called out somehow or whatever, you should lose points like you would on your license, and then eventually you can go to jail and never be allowed to game again.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Well, the problem is some people will use that. Some people will have that badge with all those negative stamps in it as a badge of honor.
Yeah, but they won't be able to get in a game.
But they won't be able to ever game again.
So that badge of honor is, I can't play.
So Daff has terrible internet at home, and he had a week off, and every day he was in the office, and I was like, what are you doing here, Daff? And he's like, oh, I'm just playing Dota and stuff, because his internet's so terrible at home, he would rather just come into the office and play games all day here.
It's so bad in Bristol, the internet.
One morning, he was like, oh, I was playing yesterday, and I got disconnected, and I got put low into low priority, and he was so sad because low priority is such
it's horrible.
Torturous
it's a
thing.
Colony.
Once you've been there once,
the
you never
so
want to go in there
it's
again.
So bad.
But I think like maybe you need to like hit them where it hurts, you know, like make it so as soon as they raise like 150 gold, they automatically buy a ward. I don't know, or something like
they're
that.
Free.
Some like. It spends their money in game.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, but the wards are free, I'm just saying.
Oh, are they now? Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. It's changed.
So your point is ruined. I'm sorry.
The economy
my point is
much
rude.
Different.
I'm just trying to think about where it hits them, whether it hits them. I'm just thinking, like, community service, like, is a nice idea. You know, what do you do?
Until you stack 50 camps for your carry.
Man, what if the game could detect, like, that you were cheating or whatever, and then instead of doing anything, it just secretly put, like, Net Nanny on their computer, and it prevented them from accessing any porn whatsoever, and it was really cumbersome for them to then this like weird malware that like prevents them from being fucking degenerates, you know?
Yeah,
I think that
or maybe
would be
it
a
like
good one.
Puts a lock on their fridge so they can't get their like fucking Hot Pockets and Lucozade out there.
Delicious cakes.
They have to drink water instead of G Fuel for
can't
a week.
Drink Mountain Dew for a week. Oh no,
Mom!
I don't know.
Don't blame me. Blame the computer.
I feel like there must be some.
Hey, so I've discovered this week and last week we ran out of series to watch. I'm sure there's other series out there. We just haven't felt like watching anything. But what we did find is on the iPlayer on Channel 4, they have the entire back catalog of Storyville documentaries.
Oh wow, those were so good.
Holy
man.
Fuck, some of them are amazing. Jesus. I've watched two. I watched the one, the Whirlybird over LA, the husband and wife reporting team in LA. They started up their own like independent sort of news thing, and they bought a helicopter, and the guy he had some mental health issues and was really just not equipped for the stress and everything, and ended up losing the plot and having a heart attack when he was like 35 years old.
Jesus.
But famously was used, a lot of his footage was used for the OJ chase.
Wow.
The 92, the Rodney King riots and stuff. And it was really interesting. It was like, I think, like, the Storyville stuff's like 80 minutes or so.
Yeah, they're really I used to love watching those.
They're really good, but they're all on there. So, and there's a new one about Jersey as well. Dark Secrets of a Trillion Dollar Island. It's all about the abuse.
I think Mrs. F watched that, actually. And there's a lot of dodgy stuff on Jersey, man. Yeah, there's a lot
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you watching it? Be like, that's my house.
No, I haven't watched it yet. It's a bit heavy. Like, I've kind of put it off. I don't want to, like, you know, you gotta sort of be, like, in the right mindset to watch stuff like that, because it's pretty disturbing stuff. But so I'm gonna get around to it, but in the meantime we watched one that wasn't so heavy, which was pretty heavy, which is the DuPont, the Teflon, you know, that chemical that they were dumping into the rivers. No, this is a Storyville documentary about it.
Oh wow, okay. Because I watched the movie with the Hulk in it. He wasn't in Hulk form. What's his name? Mark? No, Steve? Tony Butcher? I can't remember.
Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo.
This was not the movie. No, this is this is a documentary about the class action lawsuit that was filed by like seven different towns because of the amount of this like C8 chemical that was found in their drinking water, and it was giving people cancer left, right, and center.
It killed a bunch of cattle. Once it's in the water, it never goes away.
It never goes away. Yeah.
Like they're saying, it's probably in every single person on the planet.
But that's good advertising for the Teflon, you know, because it lasts long, right, on your pan.
Teflon, well, it's crazy because,
so in the end, which this amazed me. I'm not surprised, but I'm still amazed that this can happen. It was all settlements, you know. Nobody from that company went to jail. There was nothing done to them. They had help from the EPA. Like, the EPA fined them like $16 million, which is just like a grain of sand compared to the profits that they were making every year. And in the end, because the look of the company was so bad because of this chemical, they made some big announcement that they were going to stop using it. So everybody's like, oh, great, the big corporations changed their ways or whatever. They developed a new chemical that's exactly the same. They called it something different. Yeah. And now it's turning up in waterways.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's
crazy.
Fucking insane. It's just, it's fucking insane. I can't believe it.
This is all the stuff behind the things that we take for granted, though, right? And also it's you know, the it's always been the way. There's hundreds and hundreds of examples of these
things.
It's very depressing
when
you think
about it. It's babies growing, being born with, like, tons of deformities. It's cancer. It's just ravaging. Ruining people's lives.
I'm just astounded at the lack of political will to stop that. Yeah. Like, it's obviously, money is such a big factor, and these companies are so powerful that they essentially just paralyze any government. They just go, no, we don't do anything.
They take it in their stride.
It's just,
like,
amazing. How can you live with yourself?
It was like $650 million worth of lawsuits, and it was just like, whatever, we'll just put it down as an expense and just keep on going with our deadly chemical and dumping it. They, like, 50,000 gallons of it was dumped into the river. I mean, this thing is indestructible. It's probably in the ocean. It's everywhere. Like, it's fucking,
it tends
they
to
poison
be a couple
the whole planet.
Evil people at the top telling people what to do, and not really just kind of trying to cut costs and not care. And, you know, that's it happens over and over again. Like, I think there is this idea that companies can build in the costs of legal, or settlements into their profits. They're like, well, you know, we're going to make this much money. We're going to have to pay this much in reparations. And therefore, you know, I can still get my bonus and my yacht and all of my stuff that I want. Like, I know it's terrible, really, actually. Well,
this is just one example of, like, hundreds of companies who have been doing this all over the place, you know, like, I'm the more sort of ones that we're aware of are probably ones in America, because it's so well documented.
Well, what
and covered,
scares but... me actually is how much of this stuff is happening in, you know, places that aren't regulated. So much production over the last 20 years has been sent to India and China.
And their regulations are far different there.
What is it? The Bhopal disaster is quite a famous example of how it all went tits up. Let me just give you some of the...
Yeah, that was in India, wasn't it?
So it's the Bhopal gas tragedy. It was a gas leak.
That was quite a long time ago.
Yeah, but about 4,000 people were supposedly dead, but they over 16,000 people claimed, and about 500,000 non-fatal injuries as a result of this. Read all about it. It's a very long story. It's unbelievable.
You'll probably get to it next week, Sips, if you keep watching the documentary.
It's not. I mean, like some of it is pretty heavy. It's very interesting, and the documentaries themselves are really, really well done. But I can't believe how many of them there are. Like
I feel like we just found a gold mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to watch it with my mum back in the day when I was still home, when I was a kid.
These documentaries are great, but also sometimes very depressing.
Oh, for
like
sure.
I watched one this week called The China Hustle, right, on Netflix, about how after sort of the financial crisis, these hedge funds were looking at new ways to make money. And one of the things they did was everyone was looking to invest in China because China was kind of unaffected and was massively growing. And it was this huge place that was the only place in the world where it was all out of control. And so... But you couldn't invest in these Chinese companies because they were all still sort of eyes. They're kind of behind this curtain even today. And so what these Chinese companies would do is they would buy an American company that was listed on the American stock exchange but wasn't really doing anything anymore and was kind of out of business. So like a cheap mining company in Texas called like Old Mammy's Iron Mine, Iron and Nickel Incorporated, right? It would be some shitty company that had obviously at one point was profitable and now had kind of just decayed to a very, you know, small business. But so they would buy that and they would actually do what's called a reverse merger. So they would become, the Chinese company would become owned by that company and then they would rename that company to who they were. And of course, that gave them immediate access to the American stock market without going through any of the proper regulations and being tested for whether they actually existed or not. People would, and these hedge funds would start telling people to buy these stocks and buy into these stocks. And of course, no one did any of their due diligence. No one went out to China and actually looked at this stuff for a couple of years.
No.
And when they started doing it, they realized that none of these companies existed or they were all just lying.
Yeah.
And there was this huge like scandal around it. And so it's such an interesting, like, and of course it was all loopholes and legal and no one goes to prison and no one gets in trouble.
Yeah.
And,
this is the thing that is so surprising. And it just goes to show that if you have enough money, you can just avoid getting into trouble all the time. You know what I mean?
Like, I think all you need to do is find something that is incredibly scummy and should be illegal, but isn't. Talk to a lawyer and he says to you, oh yeah, well, this isn't actually legal, so go ahead and do it and make loads of money. And then they go ahead and do it. You know, I think it's like this odd thing where people are so hungry, or corporations are so hungry for money that they aren't really even aware these kind of scams affect people, right?
Man.
Or affect things.
Yeah.
It feels like a victimless crime as well, really, when you have the idea that it's like, oh, well, it's just money being transferred around between rich people.
Because it's in the structure of a corporation. There's just no accountability. Everybody just says, well, he told me to do it. You know, everybody can just wipe their hands clean of anything and sleep like a baby every night because it's somebody else's fault. But then you never can find out whose actual fault it is. And then in the end,
you don't know who
they just
you're
end up getting fined some
crimes,
pitiful
right?
amount that they
you
can...
don't know who's been led into this thing, who's lost their pension, how that's affected them. You don't know where these crimes have gone. And I think that because it's affecting it's someone else, it's not a problem. You know, a lot it's like that ethical quandary, isn't it, of whether you would let 5 people die who you don't know, or your wife. You know, you're like, well,
oh, isn't
obviously
it that, like the one with the there's, it's always a train on a track. I don't know why it always comes down to that. A train on a track, and
you've got the lever.
There's 5
That's
people
right.
on one line and one dude on another line, and do you pull the lever to, like, it's already heading for the group of 5 people is the big one. Do you pull the lever to kill the other guy so it saves the 5 people? So one of the big ones is there's a train coming. There's a very fat man on a bridge. do you push the fat man off the bridge to land on the track and block the train or not?
That would, okay.
I love how we're assuming that the fat... What kind of fat shaming?
He has to be enormous.
He's very big. It's not his fault. He's a very big guy.
Even if he was like Jabba the Hutt big, he wouldn't stop a train going
at full
speed.
But equally, you would just shout, get off the fucking track. I mean, that would, you know, it's a hypothetical, right? It's like, it's been designed.
Well, if you push him off the bridge, how's he going to... He's not going to be in very good shape.
No, he's going to have to scream it in midair while he's falling down.
It's a low bridge, or the train can just fit under it. It won't kill the fat man.
What kind of train is this?
But if you pull him onto the track, if you have to push him onto the track, that's the line that people draw. I think because they feel sorry for someone fat enough to stop a train, but also it's more personal. You having to put your hands on someone and push them off a bridge to block a train from hitting five people further down the line. But when it comes to pulling the lever, it's actually quite interesting how people change. If it's already headed for the five people, will they pull the lever to make it head for the one person? It's quite interesting. The moment people have to get involved, they suddenly get shy about it. And they're sort of like, I don't know if I could, because that's not fair on that other guy and stuff like that. Like, it becomes quite an interesting ethical dilemma for people once they have to do something, especially if they're as physical as pushing someone in the way to save other people. It becomes very hard. If you were to make a logical decision, you should always save the five people over the one person. I mean, that's five families and five lives instead of one, the needs of the many and all the rest of it. But once people have to physically get in there and start making a difference themselves by intervening, it gets a little fuzzier, which I thought was
And also, if you give them an excuse, right, where they're like, you know, if they do nothing, sure, five people will die, but if they actually pull the lever, then suddenly they're now involved.
Right.
You know, people can very easily stand by and do nothing and say, this was going to happen anyway. It wasn't my responsibility
to pull
that lever.
And just film it on their phones or whatever, but absolutely. Yeah.
There's this odd ethical thing. It's the idea that also the president should have to get the codes for the nuclear weapons.
Oh, he has to cut him out of the guy's heart, right? That's one of them. So the codes are hidden in a Secret Service agent's heart, and he has to carve them out if he wants to launch. Because then he has to be serious,
The
right?
Secret Service agent has to be his firstborn son as well. to make it extra spicy.
Let's make it really spicy. Yeah. And they're like, you know, there's a train
coming.
Yeah, and there's a train coming. You can push your son in front of the train. If you stop the train hitting these five people, the nuclear launch codes descend from the sky on a tiny balloon and you can annihilate the planet. Sounds pretty cool.
It's crazy. The whole, So the Storyville stuff, definitely, if you like documentaries and stuff, I mean, some of it's heavy, but it's really well done. And I didn't realize that it was such a long running thing, but there's tons of it on it. So it's a treasure trove of content to consume.
I'm going to dip into those, definitely.
Yeah, I do like r/documentaries. I'm always like, that's one of the subreddits that is one of my go-to things. And if I'm bored at work, I'll just, at work, sitting in the office. Thank you to this week's sponsor. It's Manscaped. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code TRIFORCE at manscaped.com. COVID is lifting. We're getting our jabs and spring break is going to be just around the corner. Everyone's going to be letting it go, and you need to make sure that there is also spring break in your pants with Manscaped.
Just what I've been waiting for.
Manscaped is here to ensure that the party in your pants never stops.
What I want to know is, right, these dick pics people are sending, you better sculpt that shit. You know what I mean? You're going to be sending a dick pic. You want a tidy area down there. How are you going to get
maybe
that?
Just a little trim, but like, come on.
Right, but that's the thing. What are you going to trim it with? Fucking hedge clippers, Sips?
No.
You're out of your mind.
Well, yeah, absolutely, PFLAX. The perfect package 3.0 kit comes with the essential lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer.
I can't wait to get that thing all over my testicles.
Yeah, my personal, I just do use it a number two over my whole body.
You do
body.
A number two over your whole body. You're disgusting.
That's really sexy. Holy crap. And hot. Oh, and probably the number two is quite hot too.
It is sexy. Really sexy. Yeah. And if you want to take those pics, you know, you don't even have to do it naked. You could just, you know, wear this swimsuit, but you don't want any like pubes coming out.
You don't
out
want
the
a
top,
swimsuit
you know?
Beard. Get tidy in.
Also inside the perfect package, you'll find there is a Manscaped Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant.
Nice.
An anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer.
My balls stink,
because
personally.
Yeah, for real.
If you...
They reek.
If you...
I'm saying for real that his balls stink.
Flax is well, very they aware.
Mine don't, because I use the ball moisturizer. I am smooth and gorgeous.
Right.
Thank you, Manscaped. You can use the code TRIFORCE For a limited time, subscribers get two free gifts, the shared travel bag and some chafing resistant Manscaped boxers. Oh, very high performance boxers. So there you go. Thank you, everyone. That's manscaped.com. Use the code Triforce, get 20% off and free shipping. Thanks, guys. And I'm on this show.
So, all right. So I talking about TV again, I actually wrote something. I've just found this on my notepad that I note things down for during the week. And I've written, this is an example of TV acting. And this is what Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is like. And a lot of other shows. I've noticed a pattern in the dialogue because I haven't been watching them one a week. I've been watching them like three or four an evening. And you notice a pattern. And see if you recognize this pattern. Okay, this is how it goes. We need to talk.
After what happened in Stockholm, I don't think so.
Wait, Bishop, hear me out, please. I'm sorry. Soft dramatic music insert.
You should be.
I know, but with everything that happened with Carpenter and Burge, I made a mistake.
We all make mistakes, Nessa. It's how we respond to those mistakes that matters. And your response was to leave us up there, high and dry.
I know, but that's not all. There's something I haven't told you about me and Clint.
Clint? I'm pregnant.
We're together. We have been since that trouble in Mexico City. Smiles wryly. So you were trying to protect Clint.
Damn, it all makes sense now. Why didn't you come to me for help?
I couldn't. Not you. You're too important to me, you know that.
Nessa, what's important is the mission. If this happens again, I can't protect you.
I don't want you to.
But you need me to.
And so on. So it's like...
Confrontation. You won't protect somebody because they besmirched
your... That's how it goes.
Right, okay.
The agency is more important. Like, Coulson's always saying it. So, but the show is very much like that, where you'll have tensions build up in one episode or earlier in an episode, and then in a later episode they have a confrontation, but that reveals some new information that completely changes the relationship between the two characters for the next episode, where something else happens that then creates tension that we then have in the next episode. So it's like this constant peaks and troughs of tension between characters that they create and resolve. And a lot of TV shows do this. If you watch any show that's got an episodic format with an overriding story. So it's not like, say, Game of Thrones, where it's one story, like a novel, or The Wire, or a lot of those shows. The Sopranos was a bit more episodic in that in each episode you'd have certain events happen that played out and were generally resolved in one or two episodes,
yeah,
but with a very long overriding plot. So you'd have, we got a problem with Tony. Oh, Tony's causing a problem. Well, we'll go pay him a visit. You know, that kind of stuff. So we'll find out a little mini resolution over a couple of episodes for those sort of mini plot lines.
Yeah.
And then you have your broad plot lines. So with Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's a bit like that. But there's an episode like, we've got a report of a new Inhuman in Denver. And they go out there and they solve the problem. But it adds to the main plot, which is quite interesting how they do it. Game of Thrones was not like that at all. It wasn't like
Game of Thrones
episode.
There was a lot of like crossing over long arcs, wasn't there?
Like, yeah, it was like books. A lot of very long arcs for a bunch of characters, and we saw a bit of them each time.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because I was talking to Mrs. F while we were watching it. If you think about these shows, it's a different writer every week because these episodes, like it's like Game of Thrones or something like that, had I think it was it like 10 or 12 episodes per season, something like that. Why, like there is like 24 episodes per series of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's much longer, and you've got to have a lot more filler episodes where someone just comes up with a cool idea, and that's your episode. Bam, that's 40 minutes right there. And I don't know if they have a head writer who just ties the main storyline together, and then they just say, all right, we need 23 episodes, just get me a whole bunch of writers, and as long as they understand the overall story, they can just come up with some shit and we'll fucking fill it in. I just think it's interesting. It's like putting together a computer program. You need people to write different modules.
Yeah,
you have a lead designer who sort of...
It is really interesting. I guess it is quite formulaic as well, in a sense.
It's like different writers, stuff, but they're all a part of a team, right? So they get the same brief for like, you know, okay, write let's do this, but then we're going in this direction with this character, blah. Like, there's definitely like guidelines and stuff in there that has
But there has to be someone as well that says... For every episode, they'll have to go through and make amendments like, oh, no, Fitz wouldn't say that, or, oh, no, that's not very Coulson-y. You know, you need to establish a change of character. Because it's amazing how consistent these shows are with multiple writers at portraying a character the same... They're pretty much the same way, unless something changes them. And then you need to go through and say, like, right, from now on, Coulson's a complete dickhead to everybody for the next, like, 10 episodes because he's got problems with his fake hand or whatever. And then we go on to the next series and it's all resolved. So yeah. I'm just amazed and fascinated by the process of how you write something that complicated. And it has to be written with all the budget in mind and filming days and who you've got available. Because one of the funny things is, especially when you watch a show like that, you can tell that in the next episode, a character is going to be the focus because they haven't appeared in the previous episode.
Yeah, but okay, so, imagine all of that effort for a show that sucks. Nobody watches
like
and it
NCIS
gets canceled.
Or something. But, I mean, NCIS is one of the most long-running shows of all time, which blows my mind. But yeah, there are shows out there that had like one series and it was god-awful.
Yeah.
And you think, wow, everybody was really involved in that. They're all probably really good friends.
That would feel so shitty, eh? Like if you were on that, you know, part of that production and the whole thing. Just
I mean, yeah,
like
you're right. You've been on this production. You've maybe it's your big break. It's the first big acting role you've had. It's a TV series. It's been commissioned. You're going to make a whole series. It's 24 episodes. You get into the character. You meet all the cast. You will get on great. The director's great. The writer's great. But the show fucking sucks. Like, really sucks. Everyone's fun to work with, but the show just dies on its ass. Or something like Firefly,
or the show
which
doesn't even suck, and it just gets canceled because the network is just not
exactly
behind it at
all. I mean,
the
guys that made Firefly still do appearances where they go to cons and stuff like that and talk about the characters, and there's a huge fan group
around Firefly.
Yeah,
it's like a cult hit, right?
Right. I mean, imagine that. They were like, this show's fucking great. I love this character. I love the writing. I love the director. This is going to be a lot of fun. And then they're just like, nah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, honestly, if Firefly was around now, it would be on Netflix and it would be keeping going. It would still be fucking going, guaranteed. But back in the day when it was like Fox and stuff like that, they were like, we don't understand this. So we're going to break it. We're going to release the episodes in the wrong order. And then we're going to say it sucks.
Yeah. I mean, Fox axed a lot of good shows, like when they were kind of at their best as well. Right. Like Arrested Development got canceled. Didn't Futurama get canceled at one point and then came back later? That was Fox. There's a whole bunch of shows that were cut early for whatever reason.
Now, do you think that tells us that Fox makes mistakes like that, or that the majority of the audience out there just doesn't get shows that we like? Like, maybe Firefly was a fucking terrible ratings and everybody hated it. I mean,
well,
they did fuck up.
Shows with bad ratings that still survive, though. I think there's definitely politics at play in the background.
I mean, cost has to be a part of it.
Well, there's
like
cost,
if your show is expensive.
But there's also stuff that you'll never know about. You know, like so and so slept with so and so's wife or something. He hates him, and he did everything he could to make sure that his show got canceled. Or you know what I mean? Like there's tons of crap like that happens as well. I'm sure of it. But you just obviously a lot of that stuff you'd like never hear about. So there's politics, there's ratings, but then again, some shows where the ratings aren't great, they'll just move it to like some dead slot. And some shows that are doing well, where there's like, you know, some drama or something like that, will be doing well, and then they'll move it to a dead slot, and then it'll die, and then they'll cancel it. Like there's a million different examples of that happening, not even just on Fox, like all over the show.
But there are a lot of shows out there that I despise that are very successful. The Big Bang Theory is a prime example of that.
Yeah.
It did 12 seasons and
Jesus.
It had 18 million people watch the final episode. 18 million people.
Oh, is it actually done now?
I think it's finished, yeah. That's the 2018-2019 season of Big Bang Theory. Who cares?
Wait, it's gone on all that time?
Dude, it's such a big show. I do not believe that Big Bang Theory was that successful. Like anyone out there that listens to this podcast, please, I want to see the comments of the YouTube. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Great
Everybody
show.
Everybody
I ever
worked with watched it. Like, I remember people
There's
talking about
reasons.
It all the time.
There's lots of reasons why people would watch it and enjoy
it's
it.
It's fucking awful, dude.
I've never seen a single episode
it's
of it.
It's possible. Well, sometimes it's hard to find good stuff, though, right? Like,
you
sometimes
watch
you watch
it.
Some things and you're
you,
like, oh.
You watch it, don't you?
Oh, my God.
You
no,
do.
Don't,
you
don't,
just
don't
outed yourself,
that.
Dude. Lewis is a big fan. I'm telling
trap.
You right
don't
now.
Don't mock me
we've,
for my choices.
You are a
out.
Disaster, mate. What are you doing with your life? Wasting it, watching that shit.
How can you have so little self-respect? How could you disgrace yourself so badly? Why do you hate yourself so much, Lewis?
Next, you're going to tell me that you
are
liked
you okay?
How I Met Your Mother. How I Met Your Mother. Were you a big fan of that show?
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah, I know of it.
Two and a half.
The one that has Doogie Howser, MD, in it.
Yeah,
man, he should have just stuck with Doogie Howser. Honestly,
he was in Starship Troopers. Remember?
No, I don't remember.
He was
that,
he was the psychic guy in that.
I remember that fucking guy that was in Total Recall. He was like a '80s sort of like
Michael
tough guy. Yeah, that's the guy. He was in.
He
that,
died
right?
Sadly, but yeah, he was great. He was in Scanners and he was in a whole bunch of movies.
Like he was, and another one was Tom Sizemore. Remember he was. Always the
Tom
sort of,
Sizemore went nuts though.
He did go absolutely nuts.
Like I think he made a load of porn movies. And
he
did tons of coke. Which I mean, you could say he went off the rails, or he reached peak Sizemore. It's
Screech from Saved by the Bell died a couple of months ago.
Yeah,
did.
Yeah, he also had a bit
like
of a
lung
tough time.
Failure, or something like really bad. Like I don't. He was like only in his 40s and died of something that you'd expect like a 100-year-old to
life.
Die of.
A troubled life.
Yeah,
I mean, Haley Joel Osment's had a pretty fucking weird life as well since he was in Sixth Sense or whatever and Walker, Texas Ranger and a few other things.
All right.
I understand he's had a pretty bonkers life.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
well.
It happens.
Well, you tend to get a bit more of that with celebrity culture and celebrity lifestyle, don't you? It's a bit of a wild place. I've got this notepad next to me where I like keep track of things, and if someone picked this up, it would be like the ramblings of a madman.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me. Let's hear it. What's on there?
Well, I was playing this game on Steam where it's like a cipher, I think it was called, like a decryption game. Right. So the first few pages are covered with my notes taken while I was trying to decrypt things. So it looks like the crazy journal of someone who's trying to keep something secret.
Right.
And then I've got just a whole page of notes about like ideas for songs that we came up with, ideas for like
what are the ideas for
games.
Songs if you don't mind sharing.
Well, like real songs or parody songs. You can't really do any
talking
parody
about
stuff
like
anymore, right?
Talking about like coming up with ideas for a Christmas song, right?
Right.
And so various like ideas about elves,
oh
like kind of trying to make iPads.
How the fuck
and,
can
like...
you be bothered doing all that shit? like you, when
well,
you
no.
describe this, that to me sounds like fucking homework. You know, like it just sounds so fucking tedious. Like, you know, oh, I gotta get a Christmas song out this year. Like, Jesus.
No, well, like, it's fun. We have these, we create this, it's fun stuff. I enjoy
Book
doing it.
Book reports were really
just
fun, too, I bet, for you. Did you like that at school?
It's
you
good
there?
To
look,
do different
when we were
stuff.
At Yogg's Live, YoggCon, right?
Yeah.
And there were all those people singing Diggy Diggy Hole.
Sure, I know. I'm
in love with you.
I'm
in love with you. I'm not a fan of the song. It's not my genre, right?
Sure.
But those people were so fucking happy.
Yeah, no,
like, it's all, I mean, they
is,
were kids when
nice,
that song came
nice,
out.
Yeah.
It was a big deal, big nostalgia thing for them. They loved it.
Sorry,
they
I'm
were sure. So happy.
I'm ruining the magic.
You are. They loved
I'm like,
it.
I'm like the Disney whistleblower. The fucking,
and Lewis is trying to come up with another one.
It's
this
a small
is the
world was composed by Hitler. Did you know that?
I'm not trying to come up with another one. I'm just having fun with these guys.
No,
it's
I know,
a small world built after all.
Read my book.
That's after he's conquered half of it. It's so but small, this veil, Trace. Thought it would be bigger.
One of them here, I've got you written down, P-Flex. I don't know if I
want
to share
no,
this.
No,
this
I
want to
hear
happen.
It. I want to
Flax,
hear it.
Flax, you're going to do a Christmas
flavor.
Song. And we wish you a merry Flaxmas.
Well, I've got weird bald Santa written here, and then in brackets, P-Flax.
Oh, man.
I don't know where that came from.
I do.
Oh, that's class.
I know
sorry.
Exactly where that came from. Spite.
Oh.
Spite and hate.
Really?
And a hatred for my people. Bald people out there, you heard it. Weird bald.
Weird bald.
Weird bald Santa.
Well, poor bald
I
people.
Know.
I mean, it's bad enough they're bald in the first place. But the toxicity around them. That like
we're fair
people,
game, apparently. I get stuff all the time. Do you know how many
That's
people
wild.
On Instagram have sent me the picture of those two dinosaurs saying, why don't bald men fight more often this way with the two bald dinosaurs about to crack heads? I must have received that about 20 times on Instagram. Thanks.
It's not that you haven't got like the kind of representatives, you know, standing up for you, like, you know, sort of the these pro bald people who are starting, you know, shops for bald people and stuff, you know, and like bald acceptance. There's no bald acceptance movement.
Do you know what it is?
Spearhead.
Do you know what it is? It's people see baldness as a failing. They think it's a weakness that you fucked up.
Yeah, I saw. I can't remember what show I was watching. But
I was
slightly taken aback by it, but I remember hearing this before as well, and it was I think it was like a dating show, or it was one of those reality shows where, you know, like married at first sight or something like that, you know? And the woman said like, oh, I really don't like bald men or men who are balding. And I just thought, geez, that's pretty harsh. I mean, it's not their fault. Like, it did happen. It's like to a lot of men.
Don't, people don't care. You know, it's fair game to make fun of bald people. I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why.
But I think a lot of people choose to have like that bald look. Like The Rock and people.
I think once you've gone bald, you have to sort of roll with it, right?
Like, what's the alternative, Lewis?
I reckon The Rock should be the pro bald guy because he looks great.
Right, but
he's
you
bald.
Say he's chosen it. What is his alternative? He's lost all the hair on top of his head. What is his alternative?
Yeah, I wonder if
Frasier, fucking Frasier, is that the alternative haircut? You have the little dangly bits at the back and you're bald on top? Or Picard with just a rim of gray hair around it?
That's like the ultimate.
Those are the two options.
He was always very shaved head anyway, right? Though, wasn't he, The Rock?
But I think that was that he lost quite a lot of hair early. He used to have hair. But you could see his hairline was going back. When he was started out in wrestling, he had hair. But as he started to lose it, you can't just cling on to like tufts and keep growing them out because that looks even worse.
Well, that's what... True. I mean, I'm looking at this wrestling picture of Steve Austin. He was obviously bald as well. And then you've got Hulk Hogan, who should have gone bald. He should have just worshipped. But instead, he wore that weird bandana to try and hide the receding hairline.
So that's the option. You either conceal it, in which case you're giving in to the haters, and you're saying, yes, I will hide shame.
I think that's the embarrassing one, right? Like, you are both weird and bald, but they're not, like, correlated.
Right.
You know, you don't have to be...
I was weird when I had hair. Like, there's no relation between the two events.
Exactly.
But what I will say is, like, if you're bald, bald brothers out there, and sisters, some of the sisters out there are bald as well. Bald brothers and sisters, hear me now. There is nothing that we respect less than people who are part of the bald fraternity and reject it and hide it and wear a wig or grow their hair like Hulk Hogan and wear a fucking thingy on there. If you're wearing a toupee or you're wearing a bandana or you're trying to hide it or you just always wear a hat, own it. Own who you are. Fuck the haters. Don't let them tell you, oh, you're weak because you're bald. Fuck you. Look at The Rock. He'd fucking tear you in half.
Yeah, I think I'm wondering though, you know, this, like the woman on that show who's like, I don't really like bald men. I'm sure she would like The Rock though. You know what I mean? He's bald, but like, he's super handsome. He's fucking ripped and stuff. Like, how could you
well,
not,
he's
right?
Also so
she's not
going to
turn him down.
Of course. You know,
like, he's like 7 feet tall, so you wouldn't really even be to see up there, right? You wouldn't even know that he was bald because you're looking from a lower angle, right? Yeah. You'd never notice.
No, I'm wondering, like, if, you know, because she said she doesn't like bald men, but maybe she just doesn't like nerds.
Maybe
what,
she hasn't,
you know,
met the right one.
Maybe she doesn't like Milhouse Van Houten's dad. That kind of bald man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Kurt.
The ring. The receding ring.
Yeah. I do want to talk about a tweet just briefly. So
go on.
Booth tweeted me and she said, at Pyrian Flax, do we need to get you on a call with Gemma, Lydia and Boba and me to discuss dick pic etiquette? Because this is a callback to last week's Triforce.
Right.
And then Boba says, this makes it sound like Pyrian sent you one, which is kind of sad. But what gets me is Booth's reply. She says, I'm so sorry. He's just clueless because he's been happily married for decades. That was how she put it. And I thought that was interesting. When Sips and I both did admit that we don't know anything about this shit because we haven't had to do it. Clueless. I thought that was interesting.
We don't know shit about shit.
Well, we know nothing about nothing. This is something. We know nothing.
This is a particularly
that's the formula. You can have something, and on the other side of the formula, whatever the equation is, nothing is the answer. And in between, you've got us and whether we know something. I'd like to see the actual formula for it. But essentially, the input is something, and the output is nothing.
Well, by all means, look, educate yourself. Get out there. Put yourself out there.
Yeah, get some snaps and, you know, get out there and see what happens. You know, you never know.
I was talking to someone this week who said that all of the, I can't remember who, or someone in the office, and they were saying that how people on Zoom have sort of, over the last year gotten so used to Zoom calls. Like at the start of the pandemic, everyone was really shy and didn't say anything. And now people are treating it like they're just monologuing and to no one and they're just yammering off on one. Like
a podcast.
It's weird.
A bit like a stream or something as well.
Yeah, I don't know where that sort of shift, when that
Even
shift
happened.
Even more
people want to be streamers
I've
now.
Noticed a couple. I'm still not comfortable on like Zoom calls and
really?
Stuff. But like,
Me too.
Well, I haven't done
same.
That many.
I hate them. I hate FaceTime and all that shit.
I'm trying
shit.
To avoid doing that.
It's the worst. You know what the problem is? There's a delay. You know, your mom says, like, how are you doing? Yeah, we're fine. How are you guys doing?
And then you talk over them.
Oh, yeah really
oh,
good.
No, I'm doing good. Yeah,
it's so jarring. Like, I
That's
hate
how it.
It
is, yeah.
My mom's thing is she constantly turns the camera or the microphone off by mistake. I don't know how, but she'll be holding the phone. We'll be doing, like, a WhatsApp call or something so the kids can chat to her. And she'll put the camera, she'll go from selfie mode to, like, the wrong mode. So we just see a shot of a cup of tea. Or she'll just mute herself and she'll be chatting away and we're waving our hands and she's like waving back and then carrying on talking. We're like, no, we're waving to tell you there's no sound. And
I had a whole conversation with my mum and dad on the weekend on Mother's Day, and she'd put the camera between the two of them. So the idea was that I could see both of them. But actually I could see, you know, my mum's left arm and my dad's right arm, and that was it.
I hope one of the things that we learn from the pandemic is how important it is to be face to face with people. And hopefully once the restrictions are lifted and it's safer to be around people, I hope people use these FaceTimes and stuff less and actually just go and visit people more so than they have ever done, right? Because it's something that we kind of take for granted, right? But I think all this has shown at least that how important it is and how much better it is to just be face to face with somebody and actually hang out with somebody.
Yeah, it matters.
Yeah.
It changes the way conversation is, because
for sure.
So much of nonverbal communication and cues and stuff like that you take from other people. And it's just, I feel so much happier when I'm with other people.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, when I come down to Bristol and we all hang out, I love it. I absolutely love it. Getting to hang out with everybody and have a laugh and a chat and go to the pub and everything, and all recording like next to each other. Like, I did a Tabs thing with Tom and it was just me and Tom doing it. And we just sat in the same room. It was great. It was a lot more fun.
It's
like
really
whenever
fun.
We do live streaming and stuff like that, and we're all in the same office, it feels a lot more connected and fun.
It's a weird, because it's a balance thing for me. Like, I like going out, and then once I've been, I'm so glad to get home and not
yeah,
talk to people
I think that's
again.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? Like, I, you know, it gives me, it replenishes that quota for me or whatever, like that I maybe am not super aware of. But you know what I mean? Like, usually when I get home, I'm like, oh, okay, great. You know, I'll do that again in a month or whatever, but that's enough for now. Kind of thing, you know, like
I go kind of crazy just streaming all the time. Like, I've found that I either, if I'm playing a game by myself, I ramble even more than usual. Like, I'm just off on some weird rambly thing. Or if I'm playing games with people, I'll get kind of snappy sometimes, and it's like not the way I want to be. It's just it's not been healthy.
But it sounds like you've got that really healthy sort of hour of 3 hours of family time every day.
You can't avoid it when
that,
you've got
right?
kids and stuff, right?
Like, yeah, but it is it's such a weird thing having been stuck inside now for almost an entire year.
Yeah, I think people
it doesn't feel right.
I've seen people say, like, tweeting and stuff saying like, oh, I've just felt so weird recently, or I felt down, or I feel miserable and stuff. And I think with a lot of this, like, you know, being locked down and stuff, I think while it's happening, you don't think about it so much, or it's not something that's apparently doing harm.
Well, you find
ways
to distract yourself with TV
I think it has just taken its toll on a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And I think people just need to give themselves a break and realize, not blame everything on that, but, like, it has been pretty tough, right? Like, it's just been such a weird time, and it's thrown everybody off so much. And I think it's one of those things where you kind of realize it later, that, like, how it has affected you, sort of thing. Like, if you look back.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that always it's good to hang out with people. Some people are awful.
Yeah, some people are cunts, yeah. For sure.
We all know
who we're talking about.
A couple of people.
Right?
I've got, actually, so I've noticed, because I've been playing Tabletop Sim.
Jesus.
I've got, actually, one of these pages of my notes is people who I refuse to play with again.
Right.
And I've made, like, some notes, like, this guy,
Ben.
Very slow and annoying. That's what I've written next to his name.
That is
I don't
Ben.
Want to say
definitely
what he is.
Yeah.
Tedious, awkward foreign accent. I've put next to this guy. Jesus. I guess that means it's hard to understand him and he's very boring.
That's fair enough, honestly.
No, I have a mental list of people I don't play Dota with, for sure. It's the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, well, these are just random people. But I noticed that they kept popping up again in the TTS club, and I almost joined games with them, and I was like, oh, no, okay, let me check my list.
Oh, I love the video of you playing that game with Ben and... oh God, what's his name?
Alex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The recut that Joe did, where it was you guys. Like, I tried to explain. I made Mrs. F watch it. I was like, this is how men spend their time when we get together and we're playing a game, perfectly happy for 4 hours, talking about rules.
Three men sat silently in a room discussing.
I love
the most bloke thing that I can think of. I'm not saying that women don't do it too, but I know that when I was growing up, that was how I spent my spare time. Get all the lads together. We would never have a conversation. You don't waste time when you could be playing this game or reading rules and being boring, having a conversation about what you did last weekend or how your mums are or anything. You literally just say, right, let's go. And that's 4 or 5 hours reading rules.
That was it.
It was really good.
It
was amazing.
Yeah.
I really want is for one time for you to have, is there a special unit that is about a meter on a side? Like that's the size of its base.
My special unit is about a meter in size. Sorry.
Like I want to see you deploy like some kind of Titan in one of these games, Lewis, where it's literally 1 meter square base, huge model, and you just put it, and whatever units you put it on are killed, and you can just bonk, put that on the board. Just see if how it goes.
That's what we're gonna do that. We're gonna do an apocalypse game of epic proportions and play it over the course of like a day or two, and then you know that turn that into a 20-minute video. I think that's the plan, really. So that we'll come back the next day and talk about what we did and cut in all the good bits. And
but what made me laugh is people calling for the uncut hours 4 hours. Amazing.
Like who wants to watch for? Because the thing is, we knew that we weren't gonna be putting out that whole 5 hours of game because we knew, and that let us sort of take it easy, and as a result that you know we are just chatting about coffee and stuff and what we've been doing while we're playing, and we're just having this day of gaming together. It was very wholesome. It was very nice. That was during the first break, so hopefully now things are starting to open up again, we can have another games day, and you're welcome to come down, PFlex, take part. We're gonna play maybe Twilight Imperium. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I'd love to.
It's like a 12-hour long Stellaris board game.
I'm so down for that.
It's insanely detailed. And it takes forever.
I've always wanted to play a full game of that. I really have. So yeah, I would be down for that.
So we're gonna organize one of those. Well, I definitely invited.
Thank you.
Once you've had your jab, you can.
Yeah,
come
I still
down.
Haven't fucking had it. I know loads of people have had them. I haven't fucking had
well,
it.
Well, you've had Corona, but even so, I think you're still supposed to have the jab because you can get it again.
Yeah,
can't
but I'm also 45.
Rolling out vaccinations to people in Jersey between the ages of 40 and 50. So I think I'm due for one like fairly soon.
Nice. I know people that are like in their 20s and have fucking had it.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't have any underlying health conditions, or they had something when they were much younger. And I'm just like, come on, give me the jab. I'm old as fuck.
Well, they might work in the industry though. So
No.
They probably got it on the dark web. They probably just ordered up some
the dark web
mafia
doctor.
Thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's going on, because that's the sort of thing you saw in like films like Contagion, like the mafia would get hold of a load of doses.
Except the mafia is just the UK government, and it was Matt Hancock that that orchestrated the thing. So.
Oh shit, well look, we better go. Thank you for listening this week, everybody. Hope you all do well out there. Look after yourselves, and we'll see you next.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you, and God bless you. Goodbye.
Bye.